Hey, you're listening to the Creative Pivot Podcast, and I am your host, Heather Johnston. This podcast is all about Gen X and baby boomer women who are taking on new careers, businesses, adventures, writing books, all of us making pivots. As I like to say, this is not your mama's midlife. We talk about things that might have stopped us from taking the leap when we were younger, why things are a little sweeter at this point in our lives. For me, it was all about embracing my creativity to really find my pivot and figure out what I want out of this one life. I hope these stories inspire you to find your creative pivot. And make sure you visit the Creative Pivot website at thecreativepivot.com, where you can find more information about this podcast, a little more about my own pivot, and how you can work with me. And now, on to this week's episode. This is season 2, episode 11, and I am interviewing Vanessa Soto. Vanessa is a book proposal coach from the Bay Area, or at least that's where she lives right now. And she loves working with aspiring first-time authors who have a big idea for a nonfiction book. She helps mostly women with a point of view, get their book idea out of their head and into a polished and effective book proposal that stands out in the publishing marketplace. You can visit her at VanessaSotoBookCoach.com, follow her on Instagram at VanessaSotoBookCoach, and take a listen to her brand new podcast. She has a book in her. I will make sure that I have those links in the show notes so you can access all of that. We have a great conversation where we share our mutual love for Sassy Magazine, yes, Gen X, and just talk about having those hell yeah moments when you know you have found your thing. And I think that is one of the most important things when you're searching for that next thing that you want to do, you're not quite sure what it is, when it hits you. It is a hell yeah moment. So please welcome Vanessa Soto to the podcast. Why don't we just start off by kind of letting you introduce yourself and maybe talk about kind of your what your business is that you do, and then we'll get into kind of the backstory of that.
Sure. So the business that I do is I work with women who want to publish a book. So I'm a book proposal coach, specifically work with nonfiction books and help you like develop the idea and then put together the package and pitch agents, the whole thing. And I kind of came to that work through a circuitous route. And it brings together a bunch of things I've done in different parts of my life. And I absolutely love it. I love that work.
And you're a voracious reader, too. So probably that love of books is there as well.
I think so. You know, I was talking to someone else about kind of my path and how I came to book coaching. And I realized that I've always been a little bit like embarrassed that my main hobby is reading. Because, and I think that goes back to being like 8 years old and somebody asks you what your hobby is. And maybe I said reading and they might've thought that was lame, but I think that's one of those things you like kind of don't pay attention to things that you just kind of do. And so that was one of the things that's always been a big part of my life has been reading and books and book people. I always imagined myself like as a teenager, I fully intended to go to New York and become a magazine editor. That was like my plan. And somewhere along the way, it kind of fell away. And, you know, I met the man who ended up becoming my husband and stayed in San Francisco and never moved to New York. But that editor thing is a lot of what I do now. So that also, I've always been interested in words and kind of the development of books and magazines and stuff like that.
Why don't we go back a little bit? So you talked about wanting to, when you were, you know, in your earlier days of thinking about being a magazine publisher?
Editor.
Yeah. What started that? Were you a writer? Like, did you start off just loving magazines?
Or I did love magazines.
You were a great editor.
The 80s were a big magazine era. Mm-hmm. And I loved all magazines. I loved like the big one for me as a teenager was Sassy Magazine.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Right. And it was so alternative for the time, right? Against the other teenager magazines. But in my house, we would get Vogue and Esquire, and we lived in Los Angeles. So there'd always be a big fat LA Times magazine every Sunday. And I know that I used to read like my dad's Esquire when I was like 10 and 11, just because it was there. So I think I really enjoyed the feel of magazines. Like they would come in the mail and they'd come every month and they had a personality to them. And then that led me to, I was a high school journalist, so I edited the high school paper. I was interested in that kind of stuff. I also was interested in graphic design, which is, I think, kind of connected to that love of magazines and kind of the visual nature of them. And I loved all that stuff, and that was my thing. But I didn't really, and I want to, if I'm honest with myself now, pay that much attention to the fact that I loved those things. I kind of took it for granted. Like I took graphic design classes at a great art school in Southern California. I had a scholarship. I edited the newspaper. I did all these things, but I didn't really appreciate it. So when I went off to college, and I kind of abandoned it all. I did an independent major that brought all those same interests together. Basically, my major was pop culture. At UC Berkeley, you can create your own major. And I studied, it was officially called post-World War II, like contemporary culture or something like that. But it was, now they called American Studies. Mm-hmm. But it was, I picked, you know, English classes and communications classes and US history and all kinds of stuff that I was just interested in. And and then like I said, I never, you know, I kind of intended to move to New York and do some sort of publishing thing. And I met my now ex-husband on the stoop of my apartment building in San Francisco the summer after college and never went to New York. And instead, I started working in advertising, mm-hmm. in ad agencies, doing a lot of similar work, but similar but different.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you, so, you know, just thinking about when you started your career, I mean, graphic design in general, like everything to do with kind of marketing and advertising,
yeah.
the digital kind of technology changes that have happened.
Yeah.
Have you embraced those? Are you that type of person that just jumps in and just learns it and really embraces kind of the change? Or are you like, I still like the old school?
I think, well, I honestly haven't really done graphic design except for Canva since high school. And in high school, it was literally like cutting out paper and like boards and like mm-hmm. tape and stuff like that. It was very manual. We did not have computers for that stuff. Working in advertising, I started back in like the mid 90s, and I have been doing digital related advertising since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do a lot of even non-digital marketing. So I actually have been doing that side of things my whole career, because that's how quickly things had changed. I remember in my first ad agency jobs after college, maybe like 1996 or so, everyone was already doing everything on the computer. Mm-hmm. So it had changed really quickly in like 5 or 6, 7 years since I'd mm-hmm. been in high school. And now I think, I wouldn't say necessarily like I embrace the digital, but like that's how I communicate my business is digitally. So I create digital materials, but I do love a really good, like printed something in the mail. And I have been thinking about what some cool, you know, journal, or I've done like canvas bags for my brand before, things like that. So mm-hmm. I do still love those tangible non-digital things for sure.
I know it's funny that, you know, you talked about Sassy. That was the I was mm-hmm. 17, just seemed so
It was so conventional and suburban.
It was so conventional. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can remember Assassi, the head, Duran Duran in it. And I was just like, oh my God. Duran together with Sassy. I love that.
There's, I mean, there's like specific things. I remember they had a thing in Sassy where you could like order clothes and stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think I ordered clothes, but I just remember kind of, it was kind of the, like, I don't know, the same thing as like the Molly Ringwald kind of style. I remember like just kind of poring over those outfits because they were just like different. And I ordered like a leather satchel bag, like for school books. And I went to school in like a really urban part of Los Angeles, and there was no leather satchel bags. We had a lot of like spike heels and like mini skirts and stuff like that, not in the Molly Ringwald vein, but like that magazine gave me a vision like that I didn't see any place else, you know, that kind of a thing. So I feel like that magazine was pretty impactful on me, and sounds like lots of other like teenagers of the late 80s.
Yeah, I think the Gen X, at least of a certain age of Gen X, that magazine was very impactful. And, you know, to me growing up on the West Coast, I think it brought maybe a little East Coast alternative energy to it that
probably
I really wanted. Like I really kind of maybe was striving more for that in my own, but.
Yeah, I agree. Like there was like plaid and things like that, like the kind of anti-preppy version of plaid. So yes, I relate to that. I remember as a Southern California teenager, just desperately wanting to be able to wear like a coat like in the magazine. It gave me hope for someday having fall leaves.
Well, I grew up in Seattle, and so I was primed for grunge and had my Docs and my flannel and could wear a coat very easily up there. So I enjoyed it. But why don't we talk a little bit about kind of your path to your current kind of business, not your, you know, your day job, your digital marketing, and you do that and you enjoy that work, but you also tried a lot of kind of different things, right? Path is a little windy. It's not linear at all. And
no, not linear at all. I think as you and I have talked about in the past, it kind of started somewhere around my early 40s. I found myself just wanting to do some more creative projects, I think is how it started a little bit. And I was having, I will definitely not call it like a midlife crisis, but just like a lot of life changes. I got divorced and there was like just a lot of changes in my life. And it just caused me to think about things differently. And that mixture of things led me to taking some classes at a local college, like after work. And then I discovered, coaching. And I was like, I naturally help people with their problems. They're always coming to me. Maybe I could do this as a career. So I did a life coaching program and I thought, oh, maybe that's what I'm going to do. But I always had my day job going on. And one thing that I found was when I had all these different creative projects that I was trying out, I actually liked my day job better. Like I appreciated it more. It had a different meaning for me because it wasn't the only thing I had going on. So I always had that going on in a pretty positive way. So I started out exploring life coaching, pretty quickly found out that that wasn't a career path. That was for me. I've often said that it was like, I was the one who was going through the transitions and kind of like needed that same kind of support, but wasn't really the right path for me to be like a life coach to other people. But I did explore some other variations on that coaching theme. I did some career coaching for quite a while. I still get people asking me for help with career stuff, but What I was interested in with the career coaching is the transition also, like the shifts that you're going through, and a little less like the resumes and things like that. So we did some of that. And I also did a project on people's side projects. It was very meta. It was the side passion project. I had a podcast and a blog, and I was blogging on Huffington Post and doing all kinds of stuff. And it was really about this idea, like, how do you, you know, what are these other things that you can do on top of your day job that can keep you feeling like more fulfilled and give you meaning? And I talked to all kinds of interesting people who had like amazing side projects. And then I took a break, actually. I took a break from side projects. I took a little break from like pursuing it officially. I think I got a little tired and I wanted to regroup a little. And kind of when I least expected it, I had kept my eyes open. Like, I still know I want to develop some sort of next phase career for myself over time. But yeah, kind of when I least expected it, the world of book coaching literally just like landed on my doorstep in a Facebook post from somebody I was connected with who was participating in like one of those online summits. And she was going to be talking at this online summit. And I kind of clicked. I was like, wait, you can coach people to write their books, and you can coach people to write book proposals. And it just clicked. It felt a lot like the magazine editing. It felt a lot like the coaching. It felt a lot like the marketing and the things that I'd done before. And it felt really, really natural. It felt like a thing that I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So that was a good feeling. So I paid attention to it, followed it. And yeah.
And how long have you been doing the book proposal coaching now?
It's almost a couple years now. Went through a training program, like a pretty rigorous training program. Started working with clients right away. And like right now, I have two clients. I'm working with a food blogger on a cookbook. I'm working with someone on a book that we're still kind of figuring out really what the core of it is, but it's about like helping teenagers identify what they really want to be doing when they're so bombarded with messages at high school about college and that being the only path. Working with someone on that. And I have another client who just started sending out queries. So just started pitching agents on her book, which is based on a coaching program that she runs. So it's really, it's kind of taken off.
Do you find that just because of stay at home, over the last year, that there are a lot more people thinking or realizing that they have a book in them or that they want to, like, all of a sudden they're like, I have a little time. I don't have a commute anymore. Yeah. I have some other things, like, my journaling seems more of a story than just, you know, me kind of throwing my thoughts on a page.
So. A little bit. Yes. But I feel like the big difference this year has been people saying things like, now I know I really need to do it. So a little less about them saying, oh, now I have the time, and more like, I've been thinking about this forever, or I've been talking about this a lot, or I always have kind of wanted to do this, but I didn't really commit, or I did like little things. So a little more that. And I think because the pandemic has really caused us all to just like reconsider and reevaluate. I know I have a lot more time with, I had a 3-hour commute when I would drive, go into my office. I was on a ferry most of the time. So I was reading and working on stuff, but I have 3 hours that I'm not propelling towards my office or coming home. So I think there's more space to also like open up to the idea. It's still hard, I think, for people to find the time to do it because life is still hectic, even in a pandemic, because the kids are home and stuff like that. But yeah, that meaning thing, like, I need to do this for myself. I need to stop talking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think it's something that there's also probably some people that have heard them talk about it for so long, like their friends and family, that they're also saying the, if not now, when are you going to, I mean, look at what's happened. When are you going to do it?
I know there was at least one person that I talked to who said something along the lines of like, my husband is getting tired of hearing me talk about this. And he told me I need to talk to somebody else about it. But I think that like with books, it's one of those things you have kind of two different people that show up to talk to me. And one is a person who has a pretty formulated idea that either they feel really strongly about themselves or a couple people have encouraged them in a positive way. And then the other side of people are people who have a whole bunch of ideas and they just love the idea of a book. Like they have just kind of always envisioned that. And both kind of sides of people have different things to work on. Like the ones who have like a ton of ideas need to figure out like, okay, but is one of them really a book? Or do you just like the idea of a book? Because there's a lot more to publishing a book traditionally, like with a traditional publisher. It's you need more than just a great idea. And then the people who have the idea, they kind of need more to really decide if they want to commit to the project, because it's a complex thing. If you want to pitch, you know, your idea, you have to develop a proposal. It's like 50 to 70 pages. It's a business plan for a book. So a lot of it is like working through like how much do you really want this? And that it's that group that's like, I want this no matter what, and I want to get help with it so I can do it really well. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of what I see.
Do you ever get the inkling of writing a book?
I have thought about it. I was talking to somebody on my podcast just recently, and she was describing her process that she does with writers, because she works with writers who want to self-publish. Mm-hmm. And so she helps them with a lot of the same kinds of things that I do, but really like the writing process. Anyway, she was describing how she works with people and how she organizes their thoughts. Basically, she interviews them and they like tell her things, and then she transcribes it all for them and then tells them, okay, that's a chapter, work on writing that out. Like, so she just kind of, and when she described that, I thought, oh, I could totally write a book that way. So even though I love to work with people on packaging their ideas, thinking about myself like sitting down, I know how much work it is. Like buckle down and write chapters is really hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe someday. We'll see.
Yeah, I had someone who is super passionate about their business and they can talk about it all the time. But the thought of like writing a bio about themselves or saying in the written word what they do was so difficult. And so someone said, well, just get the Otter AI app and record it.
Record it.
Mm-hmm. Transcribe it on paper and then read it. And just edit, like start editing that. That's where your passion's going to come out.
No, right. Like, because if you're a talker, and I actually do something like that with, I have one client who I specifically would just tell to talk into her phone, like just talk into your phone and give her an assignment. And she would come back and it was just like, it was so painful for her to, because this was writing stuff for the proposal. So it was like, I need you to write this particular thing. It needs to be this style. It was so hard. So I had her do that, like talking to her iPhone, because she has this huge like Instagram following. And a lot of it is based on her just talking in her stories, because people love her personality and how she communicates. So that worked really well for her. And then another thing that I do with people is, again, it's the talking. I'll do these, you know, hour-long conversations every couple of weeks with my clients that like, as they hit different deadlines, we'll go through their material. It's all recorded. And sometimes I just run it through transcription for them. And some of them do it on their own, but it's the same idea. Okay. What did we say in that? Oh, because that's sometimes when the phrasing comes through is when you're talking, you're like, oh, that's how I want to describe it. Mm-hmm. So I think there really is something to that audio side of things, and then making that the writing and then editing from there.
Yeah. What would you recommend to someone who maybe has been thinking about the book? They've had a husband or a friend that keeps telling them, like, yeah, go talk to somebody else. How would they kind of get started? Do you like them to come up with an idea? Do you have people that come to you and say, I want to write something. I'm not sure what the focus should be because I do all this. I have this knowledge. Mm-hmm. What kind of things can they do on their own before kind of maybe reaching out to you to work with you?
Yeah. Well, I love having just conversations with people about their book. So they should not hesitate to reach out and like do a little 30-minute chat with me. But what's most helpful is for them to be able to describe what the book idea is, right? In whatever way that shows up for them. I am not looking for them to have a perfectly formulated pitch. I want to hear, what is the idea? I want to hear what's different and similar about their idea from other people's version of the same idea. Because there's actually kind of a dirty little secret in the publishing industry, which is that publishing industry does not really like net new ideas. They like mm-hmm. ideas that have been tested, that there's a market for, but they want your fresh take on it that only you can bring. So I want to know, like, what's the idea? What's other things that are connected to it? So doing a little homework on that, right? Like investigating for themselves, what are some of the other books or authors? And that's usually a pretty easy question for people. They usually know two or three books that they say, well, you know, it's kind of like, I really like this. And I read this, and they usually know what their kind of constellation is. So, but if you don't know what your constellation of like other thinkers out there, it's really easy to do that kind of research on Amazon. You probably know one book, and then you can look for like, what are the other books recommended? What are the other books that people like this bought? So that's one thing, is like, what's your idea? And how is it kind of connected to the bigger picture? Mm-hmm. The other thing that they can start doing on their own is thinking about who their reader is. So really picturing the reader. If you are like an entrepreneur of any kind, you're pretty familiar with this kind of exercise because it's identifying who's your ideal customer. But an ideal reader is very similar. Who's going to pick this book up in the bookstore? Why that person? What do they really care about? And that's something that you're going to need to know absolutely for whether you publish traditionally. You're going to need to be able to sell that in your proposal, or if you're going to self-publish, you need to know who you're marketing to. Mm-hmm. So those are like the two big starting points, I'd say, to do for yourself. Do a little research, write it down, like describe this reader, describe what she's doing all day long. Get a little bit of a picture in your head, and then book a 30-minute call with me and we can hash it out. Mm-hmm. But it's really never too early to start. One last thing I would say also is pay attention to if you have multiple ideas, or if you're doing those exercises and you don't feel super psyched about them as you thought, pay attention to that, because you really want to love the idea. I will be paying attention to that when I'm talking to a prospective client, is like, where do they light up? That's usually where the idea, like where the heat of the idea is. I was doing a workshop a couple months ago, and it was kind of on the same topic, like exploring your book idea and really like digging into it. And I got an email after from one of the participants who said that she did all the exercises and stuff, and she realized that the book that she thought she should write, which was she described as the boring business book, in quotes, was not the book she was meant to write. There was no lighting up. She wasn't like, she couldn't envision herself out in the world with this book. So that's really important too. It's like, don't like write a book because your husband says you should write that topic. Like, you need to be like, hell yeah, I want to write about this.
It's kind of like what, you know, when we were talking earlier about when you found this niche of coaching when you found like you can coach people on putting a whole book proposal together and, you know, going down that road that you were like, yep, this is it. Like you knew in your, in your soul, this is the thing for you.
It was super lightning bolty. And the things that told me are similar to like the same kinds of things you're looking for a book idea or to figure out like what everything, anything you're trying to figure out that you're passionate about. It's just like, it just, A, it's really clear to you. It just kind of happens like on its own. So it, I think it feels surprising in its clarity, right? You're like, oh, it's that. So if it's different book ideas, there some are just going to feel kind of murky and not like sparky. And some other one, maybe the one that you don't, you kind of wish it wasn't that idea because maybe it's like the harder idea, harder path or something else about it. If it has that kind of resonance, then you know that that's probably more the one for you. I think if you can't stop thinking about it also, when I first discovered book coaching, I had heard like peripherally that there were people who helped writers with books. But for me, the idea of a proposal coach that helps with organizing the idea and the big picture of it and supporting the writer through this complex project of putting all these pieces together and developing something like a marketing plan, those were the things where I was like, I have skills and a natural excitement for that. And somebody else would be like, that sounds awful. I would never want to do that. But those were things that I knew I would like to do all day long. And I do. So you got to pay attention to that, all that.
Yeah. So someone is out there and they're thinking, yes, I think I do. Like, I have an idea. It does. It's like Marie, I've condoed it. I've Marie condoed it. It gives me, you know, it sparks joy in me and all of that. How do they go about working with you? Like, what are the ways that they can learn out more about your process, more about you and setting up kind of a call?
Well, they can easily head over to my website at VanessaSotoBookCoach.com. They can find me on Instagram at the same handle, Vanessa Soto Book Coach. And I start the process the same with really every client, whether it's someone who like comes through from this podcast or a referral, is with a conversation about the book. And so you can schedule a 30-minute call on my website. You can also email me. I have a contact form on the website. Just say, hey, I'd love to chat. I am very zero low pressure person. I really do love to hear about book ideas and I'll give it to you straight. And if you're also unsure if you want to like try to publish your book traditionally, which is what we're talking about, this book proposal project, or you might have more of a passion project that's a self-publishing type, more suited to self-publishing, I can help you figure out like what might be the right path for you. So you can either, you know, if it's like, hell yeah, I'm writing a book proposal, we can work together. I do a one-on-one package that takes somewhere between 4 to 6 months. It's a pretty big time commitment. But if you're just trying to figure things out, I can put together, you know, different ways to help you find the right path for you. Help you get more clear on your idea. I have a couple of different ways that people can do that with me. So whatever your idea is, I can help you take the next steps on it and then figure out where it goes from there.
Well, it sounds like you found the perfect thing for you because you have your marketing experience, you have your love of books, you know, love of just that wanting to be a magazine editor, putting things together. And also I think that, you know, it's just through our conversation is seeing you light up when you talk about helping a person on the path. That's that life coaching part of
it. I feel it myself when I'm talking. It's like, I think this applies to anything. If you feel energized by it, it gives you energy to do that work or to talk about that work. That is something to pay attention to versus if you kind of feel like, you know, worn out by it. I am an introvert, but I, you know, having conversations and talking about stuff like this does give me energy. I'll be tired afterwards from the peopling, but I love the talking about the thing itself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something to look at. Too.
I think we might share some genes or something in there because I'm the
sounds
same
familiar.
Way.
It's resonating.
Yeah. I love people, but at a certain point, I hit that wall where I'm like, I need a quiet corner by myself to process, and totally. Then I'll come back and chat with you some more.
You gotta.
I need my book in the corner to read for a while.
You gotta recharge for sure.
Thank you so much for, you know, being on the podcast and being one of my guests. I really enjoyed talking to you and. I do know a couple people that are working on books, so I will recommend that they maybe reach out. That would be
fantastic. Thank you so much, Heather. And it's been great chatting with you too. And, you know, I look forward to maybe hearing some folks' book ideas.
Yeah, that sounds great. If not now, might as well, you know, right? If you've been bugging all your friends and family forever, just
come bend my ear instead.
Because you want to hear it. I do. You know, you'll love it. It's all new ideas for you. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.